There's a major material change too. In earlier times, human technology had, for the most part, been light and portable. The microlith, the spear, the bow and arrow. Now people settled in the same place for long periods of time. They developed heavier artifacts, like fairly massive grindstones and mortars for processing foods, artifacts that had been foreshadowed in earlier, more sedentary hunter-gatherer societies. They developed much more sophisticated storing vessels, baskets and pots, clay pots, and durable buildings of mud brick, timber and thatch, designed to last not a year, but 15, 30, 40, 50 years, generations. The technology of storage became all important in a world where cooking and water carrying and the storage of grain were vital. And this led, after 6000 BC and earlier in some areas, to the development of baked clay vessels, pottery, the universal phenomenon of later archaeology, very useful to archaeologists because the distinctive styles and shapes of vessels often chronicle major cultural change. There were more elaborate implements needed now for tilling the soil, not just simple digging sticks, but hoes with shell or wooden blades or stone blades, eventually of metal, axes with tough ground and polished edges for felling trees, and ultimately, after about 3500 BC, the plough. And these new technologies, as well as the increasing complexity of village life, created a new demand for fine tool-making stone and other exotic materials. For example, volcanic glass, obsidian, which comes from fairly limited volcanic deposits, is lustrous and shiny. It's a wonderful product for making mirrors and very, very sharp stone tools. Today, even eye surgery has been done with obsidian blades. They're that sharp. And the trade in this expanded rapidly after 8000 BC. How do we know this? Because by using spectrographic analysis, we have been able to identify the actual locations, which are very limited, from which this material came, and identify how far down the line from village to village this material was exchanged. But what I really want you to remember is the notion that we're talking here about an increased interdependency. The web of interconnectedness between different villages was beginning to expand. Because one of the major themes with urban civilization later in this course is the critical importance of long-distance trade. So, obsidian and other materials and foodstuffs were handed from one village to another. And some settlements, like Jericho, like Catalhoyuk in Turkey, which we'll come back to in a moment, became major centers of trade in all sorts of commodities. How do we know this? From the exotic materials like seashells and obsidian in the deposits of these settlements. And finally, and there were of course many other consequences too, the role of women became better defined. Because they assumed major responsibility, not only for planting and harvesting crops, but also for processing grain. How do we know this? Because in Abu Huraira, a remarkable study of the leg and backbones of female skeletons in the deposits have shown that these women show pathological conditions which result from spending enormous amounts of time kneeling over grindstones and pushing the heavy grinder. It's a condition found also in ancient Egyptian women. It's not found in the men. So there was real solid evidence here for the division of labor, which was to endure for centuries.